Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. We're turning the first half of today's hour into a poetry corner. A year ago, we spotlighted a rare such corner for television, Poetry in America on public television stations. The series returns for season 2 next month, and creator host Alyssa New joins me next. And for this turn, one of this series' guests is on board, Tony-nominated Broadway musical star Melissa Errico. She will join us live. And as a relationship drama, unlike most of its ilk, and that's what BET and BET Her will simulcast tomorrow night, it's called Open. The writer, executive producer, and director of this original movie, Cass Seeger's Beatles, comes by late this hour from Atlanta. Also ahead, the Masters on hiatus, more coronavirus development, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us this Friday afternoon. 63 beautiful degrees in the New York metropolitan area at this hour, and we welcome you again to the program All About Television. Some wonderful guests coming away in the hour ahead, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. All it takes is raise your voice, pick up the phone, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere. Catch us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. We have a chat room open for you as well. It's in business at SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, you're connected with us. And while the program is on the air, you connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk or Speaker screen, follow the instructions, other people will be live with you. From Poetry in America on public TV stations, we'll have Alyssa New and Melissa Errico joining us live from Boston and Westchester County, New York, after these news notes. The first major professional golf championship of any year, covered by CBS and ESPN, the Masters, will not take place next month for the first time since its launch in 1934. Officials at the Augusta National Golf Club near Augusta, Georgia, decided this morning to postpone their event. Reason? Ongoing concerns over the coronavirus. Details on a new date will be announced in the near future. Separately, more broadcast network primetime series are quickly going the hiatus route in preventing the coronavirus epidemic from spreading. The Flash on the CW, whose co-star Victoria Park was on this program last month, joined this group earlier today. Other series, also on hiatus, include Riverdale, Dick Wolf's Chicago, FBI, and Law & Order series produced in Chicago and New York, respectively, and several ABC Summer Fun & Games returnees, including Celebrity Family Feud and Card Sharks. Depending on the specific series, filming or taping will be on hold for 2 to 3 weeks. Now some quickies. Animal Planet will kick off Season 4 of long-running series The Zoo April 4th. And Lenox Hill Hospital here in New York will be the subject of a new documentary series on Netflix. Lenox Hill is the name. June 10th, the debut. And that is news notes for today. It was about a year ago that we introduced you to a public television series called Poetry in America, one of the very few television series ever in the history of the medium devoted to this art form. Well, thanks to about 1.3 million people tuning in on a regular basis in the first run, it is back for a second run coming up next month for many public television stations and also on the World Channel, where it will debut on April 11th, Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. Rejoining us live for the first time since her initial appearance on this program, the creator and host of the series, Alyssa New. Alyssa, welcome back.
Hi, Simon. Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
And great to be back with you again. And joining both for the first time is the Tony-nominated Broadway musical star, the Tony Award she won for the Michelle Legrand musical, Amour. Her credits also include My Fair Lady, opposite Richard Chamberlain, One Touch of Venus, Call Me Madam, and also some terrific albums, including one regarding one of her favorite things, Stephen Sondheim. The album is called Sondheim Sublime, came out over a year ago, and in fact, Stephen Sondheim is the focus of the episode of Poetry in America she is on. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to welcome, from Westchester County, where she lives, Melissa Errico. Hi, Melissa.
Hello. Pleased to be here.
Same here. Alyssa, first of all, what was the reaction to the first season of Poetry in America? What do people like most about the series?
Well, we were really bowled over that people really, really, really liked the series. I think many people liked it because they'd always been mystified by poetry. They felt they couldn't understand it. They felt that it was obscure. And instead, They watched our show, and within a half an hour, they felt that a key turned, and not only did they understand, but often fell in love with poetry. I do think that part of what our viewers like is that we treat poetry as a kind of as an art among other arts, and I'm always attentive to inter-artistic connections, and so the Sondheim show focused on the lyric from Sunday in the Park with George, Finishing the Hat, that Melissa was part of, is an example of that, where we think about poetry in relation to music and theater and dance. And so I think one of the things viewers really, really like is to think about their language in this very dimensional way that will include, you know, the visual, the musical, and that these language, music, image all together it grabs them, seems to grab them.
Well, listen, when you were contacted by Alyssa and the people at WGBH who produce the series, what do you think about this idea of, Sondheim poetry?
Well, it's interesting. First of all, I've always thought this the series is amazing because it sort of encourages people from all walks of life to have a conversation about poems. So right away I knew that her kind of theory about this was not that I had to be a scholar, and that I could come to the particular poem, which was Finishing the Hat by Sondheim, as myself. And I think what I understand about the program is that Elisa is very interested in how when a person reads a poem, and in this case a lyric, what does it reveal about themselves? And that's kind of what actors do all the time. And so I was trusting that she would not make me feel like I wasn't a PhD student or something in language. But I'm also very interested, and I don't know if every episode really is probably like a two feet sort of dig in something where there's miles to go. But she really opened up an idea for me that, you know, even Greek lyrics in the old days were sort of meant to be sung. And so the role between language and music. But Sondheim always said that his lyrics really shouldn't just be read, that they're really specific. They're songs rooted in character, and they're not a literary practice in themselves. So we did a literary kind of discussion about it, but also she brought me into a theater and had me sing with my pianist, and we did fragments and fragments of the song and analyzed the words and performed them. So we didn't just look at it flatly as language. So she did a really wonderful thing, which is where she let us look at it as a poem, but as actors, and also continue to sing it while we're exploring the words. So I think people are going to love the episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Melissa is so beautiful in it.
What's that?
Absolutely.
And Melissa is so beautiful in this
episode.
Oh,
thank you.
That's
very kind. I don't know if your readers will know,
so
but I was playing the muse to a painter, the great French impressionist Georges Seurat, and he's a pointillist, where he, you know, had little dots of color, and so his technical success as a painter was in creating little fragments of light and color, and the eye, the human eye, who looks at this painting, sort of puts it together, and then you see, if you step away, you see all the elements of a painting. So his technique as a painter was then reflected in the way the whole musical sounds. All the lyrics are a little flat, plain, simple, finishing the hat, how you have to finish the hat. They're not very lyrical, long sentences. They reflect the painting itself. So we were able to talk about that on the episode, about the painting and language, and Elisa is an amazing guide and had lots of actors, on screen
talking
about
that. Well, the painting, the theater, poetry is an art form many of us have been taught to think of as something we read in a, you know, under a desk lamp by ourselves in solemn reverence. And poetry has, through time, had so many different settings, contexts, uses. People read poems at weddings. They read poems at funerals. They sing poems to each other when they're in love. And poetry is really is crafted language for a purpose. And so in every season of the show, and we're now going on to make season three, we focus in at least one episode on crafted language that is performed. And that's what the Sondheim episode does in season two.
Yeah, I learned even more from you and by doing the program that there's so much formal structure in Stephen Sondheim, and all of that is in service of this emotional intensity.
Yes.
The theme is actually so passionate, and yet there's so much structure, and the structure doesn't distance you from the emotion. It sort of grabs the emotion, you know, and makes it stronger. So it's a intense poem song about a man who's choosing his painting. He loves his painting a bit more than he loves the woman, and he's making big sacrifices to be an artist.
But he of course represents her for all eternity, and there's an act of love. This painter who puts all of his passion for this woman on the canvas, and of course loses her. Simon, Melissa had just said that, you know, she learned so much from me. I think that what the series does that in some ways I'm proudest of is that it allows us to learn from a little pickup ensemble cast. Each episode brings together a set of people, most of them not experts, but in some way situated in life so that they will particularly understand this poem, this lyric that we're reading, and it's from all of them. It's from the cumulative interpretive passion that this little pickup cast produces together. That's where the show really, really sings. Right now I'm working on the finale episode. We air in a few weeks, but I'm still tinkering with some edits of the finale. And that episode has a cast of almost 20 interpreters. We're doing Walt Whitman, and we say in that episode that to understand Whitman, you really need to be part of a crowd. It's remarkable to me that I wouldn't leave out any of these interpreters. Each one adds to a piece of it, and reminding us that poetry is meant to be read and experienced, and not it doesn't live on its own on the cold page.
One of the nice things about doing the program, if I may add, was that Elisa asked me to sing George's song, and so George is a man who has, we all know watching the play and listening to this, that he became George Seurat. So we know it all worked out for him. He became a great painter. But the intensity of the song and the act of creation and the absorption in the act of creation is something that maybe more men in history have been able to do as artists. And she asked me to sing it and sing it. How would it feel if it's a woman who gets a chance to be an immersed and serious and intense painter? Of course, there have been women like that, but it's also very exciting. As an actress, she asked me to read it and sing it on television, and imagine if it were a female, and what are the things you give up, and what personal life things, children, relationships, what do you sacrifice if you get to really immerse yourself in being a obsessive and creative person? So I was able to think of the gender reversal you'll see there's a little, I sing the man's song through the episode. So I thought of it from the gender reversal and what women, you know, the risks we have to take to be creative and the losses that would happen. Yeah.
And yet, if I may, Simon, we haven't let you get a word in edgewise. If I may, that passion, that zeal, for creativity certainly comes naturally to you, even though our social context may militate against our enjoying all of those hours, in intense creation. It does seem sort of a gender neutral kind of bliss.
Except the women have to do it. We have to get the kids organized before we can go work on the painting. You know, we have to have the play dates and the school planned and the kids in ballet, and then we'll finally get to go to the studio. I hate to say that, but I can't. I have three children. I don't see how I could put them so much aside unless I'm just a rotten mom.
I don't think George would have been
a great stay-at-home dad.
No, I don't think so either. Well, and I think women today, we're all of those of us who create, we're all struggling with that every day. Simon, you must have something to ask us.
Well, I will in a second, but first I want to get a couple words edgewise, and that is, if you want to really get a great introduction to one of the great composers of all time, Stephen Sondheim, not just for Sunny in the Park with George, but West Side Story, which is now being revived on Broadway, will be the Steven Spielberg movie coming out, I believe, this December, but also Company, Follies, other great musicals.
Mm-hmm.
This is the episode to do it. And it's just one of the episodes of Poetry in America, the public television series coming back for its second season next month on many public television stations, and will also be premiering on the World Channel starting on April 11th, Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We've got the creator executive producer of the program and the host, Lisa New. She joins us live from Boston, Mass., where the show is produced by WGBH, the public television station there. And Melissa Errico, the Tony-nominated Broadway star, joins us live from her place in Westchester County. The both of us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon and I will be live from New York. 60 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy you're with us for the program All About the Tube. If you have a question or comment for either one or both of them, please ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Monday, we're coming your way a half hour earlier than normal. That's 2:30 p.m. Eastern and 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. On our first half hour at 2:30, we will have the creators and executive producers of the brand-new NBC series Council of Dads, Tony Phelan and Joan Rader. And then from Top Chef All-Stars, coming back later this month on Bravo, executive producer Doreen Aguinas. That's all coming up Monday, 2:30 Eastern. That's 11:30 in Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Alyssa, is this the first time that you've done a composer as a poet on the series? Was this booked at last year? And if not, what made it happen this year?
Last year, we focused on the work of hip-hop artist Nas and on his celebrated track, New York State of Mind. And in that season, we analyzed hip-hop as poetry and thought about the differences there too, as with Sondheim, between poetry on the page and poetry as it's performed. And each season we will try to do something completely different. In season three, we will probably turn to blues and do a blues song. I won't share which one.
We should also say that again.
I would like to say that in addition to you being on the Sondheim episode, also on is a fellow wonderful Broadway star, Rolla Sparza, who many people know, of course, beyond Broadway, as the former co-star of Law and Order Special Victims Unit, playing the DA, Victor Barba.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, actually, two of my favorite men in the world are actually on this program. I could live on this program and never come out, because Adam Bopnik is also one of the great writers and speakers and intellectuals in the world, and he's also on this episode, Adam Gopnik from the New Yorker magazine, and he's very good friends of mine, as well as Raul Esparza, and in fact, the three of us have worked on another musical that Adam wrote. So to work with Raul again, to get to revisit our happiest times in our career, really, Raul and I always say the happiest days of our life to date, and was working on the musical Sunday in the Park with George. So you can definitely count on seeing people who adore creative life together and also admired Adam Gopnik, who's on the show too. So that was a big reason to do it as well.
Yes, who's very, very brilliant on the show. And this is one of those shows that has a lot to teach about painting, about poetic form, about music and how actors interpret it, but Adam is such an effortless expositor, you know, and explainer that, I agree. It was a joy. We also, on this particular show, have Donna Lynn Champlin, most famous recently for her role as Paula in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, a cult favorite, and Carrie O'Malley, who's also been in Sondheim, and actor Andy Arrow. So we actually filmed both in L.A. And in New York City. And so this episode is an extraordinary one, and it stands out in the season because of its anti-artistic, it's inter-artistic qualities. But I'm very excited about, other episodes in the season that take many of them a very different approach. I'll give you an example. We're doing an episode that features Vice President and Nobel Prize winner Al Gore, along with a group of Conservation International scientists and the poet Jory Graham. We read a poem called The Fish, which is set under the ocean. And in that episode, we look at poetry through the lens of science and science through the lens of poetry. And the episode includes just ravishing, gorgeous underwater footage that was donated to us by various extraordinary underwater cinematographers. And so, from the Broadway stage to deep under the sea, and another episode in this season is set in a barbershop. We read a poem by Mark Doty that begins with the most ordinary haircut, the guy getting a haircut, and eventually descends into some sad and tragic memories offered by the speaker of the poem as he remembers losses of 20 years before. There's a moment in this episode where a barber chair from the very barber shop descends into the underworld, and so that, you know, that gives you an idea of some of the range and the variety of this season.
I don't know how you found the footage that you did of our production. I've never seen so much beautiful footage and photography. Raul and I are Italian and Cuban, and so we always thought that our production was the kind of Cuban-Italian Sunday in the Park with George. So I really got to see the intensity between us. We were so close at that time, and your visuals are so extraordinary. So we're very lucky.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad. I'm so glad, Melissa.
And incidentally, just to get more words in, if you want to see another great example of Stephen Sondheim's work, check out, if you can, on YouTube, I believe it's there, the wonderful performance of Sweeney Todd that was done by Terry Hughes for television at that time, the Entertainment Channel, which features excellent performances by Angela Lansbury and an Emmy Award-winning one by one of my favorite actors anywhere, any medium, George Hearn. What they do together and what George Hearn does separately in that musical is absolutely spectacular. And he deserved that Emmy Award for
I agree. Yeah.
Also gave me one of my favorite moments in history of theater, which was to go see La Culture Falls with him and Gene Barry. And when he does the I Am What I Am number that closes that first act, it is one of the most extraordinary moments I've ever seen. It is the most extraordinary moment I've ever seen in live theater. When he did that number, then you can hear a pin drop.
I'm obsessed with Mr. Sondheim. I must say, all last year I made an album called Sondheim Sublime and toured it all over America. I went to London 3 times with it. And I've made little films, 60-second Sondheims, like about my obsession with Mr. Sondheim. So this program just taps into the biggest passion. I could spend my whole life on YouTube watching these things. I agree.
Absolutely.
I think after the program, I'll write to you for the list, for my playlist.
Oh, of my stuff?
Of your assignments. I want
oh,
all
yeah.
of it.
Indeed. We could create quite a catalog for people.
Absolutely. So before both of you go, in the 12 and a half years that we've been doing this program, we're about to do something we have never done before, and that is to have a performer perform. This takes me back in a way to my days in college at American University in Washington, D.C., when I used to do a show called The Lively Arts and Conversation. And when we would have performers from a play or from a musical or from a poetry, whatever, we would have them actually perform a scene on the show live. I've always loved live performance on television, live performance on radio and so forth. And it was just something I like to do. And Melissa, I want to thank you because we're now going to give you the opportunity to actually present a poem right now live on our program. So tell us a little bit about the poem and then go right ahead and do it.
You want me to read this Marvell poem?
Absolutely.
Okay, this is a Marvell poem that we only discussed briefly, that if I had a favorite poem, and for the moment that we're living in, this is probably the most sexy and passionate poem. It's about sort of living for today, and we're living in hard times right now. So, and I thought inspired by the idea of a man and his girl. This is called To His Coy Mistress by Andrew Marvell. Again, inspired by Sunday in the Park with George. It sort of is a very passionate theme, but it's very, very formally structured. There's lots of tightly wound rhymes and stuff. So this is an old poem from the 1600s, so wish me luck. Do we have time for me to read the whole poem?
Absolutely. So, 1681.
All right, To His Coy Mistress by Andrew Marvell. Shall I begin?
Okay. Stage is yours.
Had we but world enough and time, this coyness, lady, were no crime. We would sit down and think which way to walk and pass our long love's day. Thou by the Indian Ganges side shouldst rubies find. I by the tide of Humber would complain. I would love you 10 years before the flood, and you should, if you please, refuse till the conversion of the Jews. My vegetable love should grow vaster than empires and more slow, and 100 years should go to praise thine eyes, and on thy forehead gaze 200 to adore each breast, but 30,000 to the rest, an age at least to every part, and the last age should show your heart, for lady, you deserve this state, nor would I love at lower rate. But at my back I always hear time's winged chariot hurrying near, and yonder all before us lie deserts of vast eternity. Thy beauty shall no more be found, nor in thy marble vault shall sound my echoing song, then worms shall try that long-preserved virginity, and your quaint honor turn to dust, and into ashes all my lust. The grave's a fine and private place, but none, I think, do therefore embrace. Now, therefore, while the youthful hue sits on thy skin like morning dew, and while thy willing soul transpires at every pore with instant fires, now let us sport while we may, and now, like amorous birds of prey, rather at once our time devour than languish in his slow-chapped power. This is the best part right here. Let us roll our strength and all our sweetness up into one ball, and tear our pleasures with rough strife through the iron gates of life. Thus, though we cannot make our sun stand still, yet we will make him run. That's it.
Oh,
the idea
and there
of
you go.
I mean, oh gosh, tear our pleasures with rough strife through the iron gates of life. The idea that we can't make the sun stand still, but we'll make him run. You know, that in their eyes, the sun was guided by the chariot, and we only have so much time, so we can't control time, but we can make that sun run, and get the most out of every day. And I think right now we all understand that extra.
Yeah, and she has time to understand that even more. Absolutely, Melissa. And on that note, we got to move our time into a different time. But first, before you both go, I just want everybody to know, Poetry in America, second season, premieres next month on your local PBS station. Remember to check your local listings for not only the station in your area, that is taking it, but also what time it's playing. Some stations run at prime time, others on weekends, other places you have to find out. And also the World Channel, which is available as either a linear or video on demand channel on many cable systems around the country, they will be premiering Poetry in America on April 11th, Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It's Saturdays at 7:30 Eastern Time on the World Channel. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.poetryinamerica.org or WGBH.org. That's poetryinamerica.org or WGBH.org. That's the producing public television station in Boston that makes the show. I just want to say quickly that the main support for the program is provided by the Dalio Foundation, the Poetry Foundation, Sloan Foundation, Deborah Hay Stone, and Max Stone, and the series distributed to PBS stations by American Public Television. Great organization you should know more about. Alyssa New, Melissa Errico, thank you both very, very much for coming on. Melissa, all the very best. Continued success with your career. Alyssa, congratulations on season number 2 and hopefully season 3 and much, much more in the years ahead.
Thank you, Simon. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome, Melissa. Melissa, take care. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Alyssa New, joining us live from Boston. Melissa Errico from Westchester County, New York, joining us live right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. When we come back, shift gears. A new, very unique movie is premiering tomorrow night on BET and BET Her. It's called Open. We will have the writer, executive producer, and director of this movie, Cat Figures Beatles, will join us live from Atlanta, Georgia. Plus, classic trivia question of the week and more. But first, we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, together reaching more than 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for Lost Arts Radio. I have a hot tip talking about the coronavirus situation. So it's Lost Arts Radio tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget Best BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Friday of March 2020. Simon Adler, live from New York, 6:30 top of the hour. Another great guest coming away in a half hour ahead. So be part of the action. Interact with us at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04. By name, we have a person in the room already. So get your call in or your comment in the room, and we will address it momentarily. Coming up in a moment, we will have the creator, the executive producer, writer, and director of the new BET Hearst Simulcast movie, Open, Cat Figure Beers. She'll join us live in Atlanta, Georgia, but first, we'll have some words from our sponsor quickly at audible.com. If you're looking for a very unusual story that you can hear over the weekend, try this one. Evie Drake Starts Over by Linda Holmes, who she narrates, by the way, as well. It's one of 3 audiobooks you can get right now through a trial run, a 1-month trial run at audible.com. Remember, Audible is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. Remember, just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, 3 free audiobooks, 1-month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And don't forget, 2 of those 3 audiobooks are the growing catalog of Audible Originals, Original Radio Productions, or Audio Productions, Best of Broadway, Off-Broadway Regional Theater, and Great One Woman and One Man Performances. So hear for yourself how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Make a great gift for yourself or others you love. So again, for all the info and that 1-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up later this half hour, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. Get your pens and papers ready. You could win if you have the first correct answer. But first, we're going to showcase a program, a very unusual made-for-TV movie about, well, very unusual relationships. It's called Open, and it premieres tomorrow night on BET and BET Her at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Joining us live from Atlanta, Georgia, the writer, executive producer, and director of this film, Cass Tinker-Beatles. Welcome, Cass.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very, very well, thank you, Cass. How did you come up with the idea for Open?
Well, Atlanta's a very interesting community, and I learned that there were several friends of mine and associates of mine that had been in polyamorous relationships, and I was just very intrigued by it, and the more I talked about it, I said, you know what, I really think that the openness, communication, the honesty, and the things that you have to go through to even be in that type of relationship should be discussed, and so that was the genesis of the script.
How long did it take for you, once you had the idea, I'm going to do this, to put the script together and then get it somewhere?
Well, this actually was an older project, so normally my turnaround might be about 6 months, but this is an older project, so I actually wrote this script about 3 years ago.
And how did it get into getting made for BET and BET her?
So it got made. We have another producer, an executive producer. Her name is Rochelle Cross. And she took the project. She took the script. She was interested in taking it and shopping it. And she took it to BET and shopped it. And she got the green light for it. What she found is a lot of times people have misconceptions about open relationships. And what she loved about the story is its honesty. It's really a story about a husband and wife and their commitment towards each other and the expectations that they never discussed in the beginning of their relationship. So she's trying to be something else for him. He's just going along with it. And she really wasn't honest with who she was. And therefore, she accepted this type of relationship when it really wasn't what she wanted. And Rochelle,
this is a couple
that's an interesting story.
Yeah, this is a couple that has been married for quite a long time. It's not like kids, newlyweds, all of a sudden getting the idea that, all right, let's open things up for us to date other people. This is a couple that
Correct.
Has actually been in a relationship for a very long
Correct.
Time. And
yeah,
what do you believe are some
of their 10-year relationship? It has been open.
Yeah. What do you believe is a common misperception about this kind of relationship that you wanted to address?
Okay, what I found about the most common misconception is people think that if you open your relationship, you're just sleeping around with everybody. It's just no rules, and you're just – and that is what I found rarely to be the case. Normally, there are lots of rules. There's lots of communication. When I spoke with a couple that I actually interviewed, and they kind of helped me understand that world a bit, they said you actually have to communicate more than you would have to communicate in a normal relationship. So I think that people don't think that there are rules, but there are rules. And I also think that people think just because you are sleeping around with other people that you no longer are really sleeping with your husband. But that also isn't the case. And so it's a very interesting way how you have to categorize your lovers and your husband. I personally don't mentally understand that, but I do know that you can love more than one person at a time. And I think it just takes a very strong couple with a lot of strong willpower and the will to really commit to each other to be able to even sustain a relationship like that.
Open is the name of BET's latest original movie, and it premieres tomorrow night, not only on BET, but on BET Her. It's simulcast at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. We have got the writer, executive producer, and director of this very neat movie, Cass Figure Beattie. She joins us live from Atlanta, Georgia, this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. 63 degrees at the top of the hour. Gorgeous day here in the city. We're spending a pretty good weekend, too, as well. Hope all of you are hanging in, particularly those of you dealing with the coronavirus. And we're delighted you are with us here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio as well. If you have a question or comment for Cass, make the phone ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have somebody in the room already, so make your voice known and we will get to you. Next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised at a regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, we'll introduce you to a new programming service where you not only get the chance to pick what you want to watch, but support it. It's called Rivet TV. The co-founder and chief executive of it, Wade Bradley, will be with us exclusively. It's a very easy venture. Could it be could it portend the future of television and your relationship with it? Join us live. I think you'll really find it's a very unique venture. Rivet TV, presented on Tomorrow Televised next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern and noon Pacific. Cass, once you got forward with this, were there certain actors that you wanted to play this relationship?
Yes, actually, Essence Atkins, who plays the lead, she actually was attached to it before we actually sold it. She was in another film of mine called Girlfriend's Getaway, and I gave her the script back when we shot that film, and she loved the story, and so she was attached. And so it was really important to find someone that she already had chemistry with or an actor that she really felt she had chemistry with, because, again, you have to, as you're watching it, you have to believe the chemistry of the husband and wife, or you'll never root for them, and that's the goal. The goal is for you to still root for them because you want to believe in their love. So once she gave me her very short list, Keith Robinson was a shoo-in. They played girlfriend and boyfriend, or actually I think they were engaged on a previous show on UPN years ago, and they have a great friendship. So it just worked out perfectly.
Did you invite either or both actors who play the couple to do their own research, to like look into what is a polyamorous relationship? How does it evolve? How do you what is the mental state? And how do you relate it to your character?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, they do their own work as actors. I gave them references. I gave them numbers of couples that I had interviewed, that I had spoken with in order to be able to do the script. So they definitely did their research. And then they had talks. You know, they had talks. Both of them have been in marriages. Keith actually is married now. Essence is divorced. But they did. They spoke about what their expectations were in marriages. They talked about their wrongs and their rights and the things that they want out of a marriage. And I think that definitely helped build their bond as Ren and Cameron, the characters in the movie Open. And Jasmine Guy, she's in it too. And I hate to miss her because I actually, when I wrote the mother character, I thought specifically about Jasmine, and we were able to get Jasmine Guy, and she kills it. She's amazing in the story.
I've enjoyed her work ever since she broke into television big time on A Different World. But the people have not seen her performance of late. She has really turned into a whale of an actress.
Yeah. Oh, she's an incredible actress. Incredible character actress, incredible actress. I mean, of course, she comes from theater and Broadway, so she's got those chops behind her. But, yeah, she's amazing in this film. When we screened it the other night, that's all people talked about. They were like, oh, my God, Jasmine as Betty, as Mama Betty, is just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Was it your idea all along to not only write and direct the film, but also co-executive produce it?
Well, I have a production company with my producing partner, Nina Holiday Entertainment. It's the company. My producing partner is Terry J. Vaughn. And so we do a lot of projects where we find our own funding and or we co-fund it with networks. So in that regard, I become an executive producer. So I think I've always fallen into that role. Directing is new for me. This is my directorial debut for a feature film. So the producing thing has kind of come natural over the years. We started our company just as I was a writer, she was an actress, and we set out to make our own films. And because we weren't able to sell, we kind of by default became producers, and we just started producing our content 15 years ago. So the producing thing, like I said, is kind of my title that I have on my shoulder and I always wear. But directing, definitely that opportunity to direct this project was very, very special. And moving into that space is going to be an interesting journey for me.
Well, in directing this, being your first made-for-TV movie and first project of this kind, were there any role models that you looked up to in terms of, okay, I'd like to fashion after this style or at least follow, you know, a director that may have served as your mentor in terms of putting this together?
Well, what's interesting is the directors I admire, my mentors, they don't quite make movies like this. Like, I love Quentin Tarantino. I love stylized films. But I also love Barry Jenkins as a director. He definitely takes moments, takes time, is strong with characters. Coming from a writing background, I was a novelist before I was a screenwriter. I am huge on characters, so character nuances are big for me. Sometimes that doesn't always play in the TV movie space, so I think this is a very good hybrid because we do take those moments where you have those pauses, but there's still lots of action and drama that you need when you're watching a TV movie as opposed to a theatrical screen. Terry Vaughn is a director as well. She's directed about 6 or 7 films. So she was there on set with me, and she was giving me guidance, like, along the way. There would be moments I would tell her, I'm like, okay, I need her to act like this. This is what I need. And she would give me the right words because, of course, she's an actor director. So she would tell me the right words to kind of get them into the path that they needed. So I've had lots of mentors and lots of helpers in my village. I just have a great support team. So I'm always looking to learn more. But as far as directors, like in Hollywood, like, I'm a huge Quentin Tarantino fan. Just, I love stylized films.
For you, what was the one scene in the film that you could point to and say, boy, I did my best work here? This is the scene that really had me think, you know what, I can really direct. I can really do this kind of project.
I would have to say it is the scene where it's a big argument scene, really, at their anniversary party where it all goes down. And we shot it on a circular dolly. So, and I had a whole vision of how I wanted to look. I had found the scene on another movie, and I'm like, I talked to my DP, and I'm like, I wanted to look just like this. And we got there, and the layout of the location didn't really match my vision, so I had to come up with something else on the spot. We weren't able to do a full dolly. We had to do a half dolly. So technically, so proud of myself, I'm like, okay, this is great. I'm still getting the look I want. But also being able to talk to my actors, and it was a very intense moment after a long day, and really get them to the place that they needed to be able to have this powerful argument and basically just go at each other. You know, we had moments where I talked to them about, what does that look like? Take me to this place where you had a moment. Of course, I have a personal relationship with Essence, so I was able to recall a few of her things to be able to give her that nudge that she needed. So I would have to say the big fight scene, I'm pretty proud of that one.
You are hearing the writer, executive producer, and first-time director of the new BET and BET Her simulcast original movie, Open, cast Seeger's Beagle. She joins us live from Atlanta, Georgia, this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Apple will be live from New York, New York. Great to have you with us. If you have a question or comment on our remaining moments with Cass, make the phone ring. Get your voice going. 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 049. And remember, coming up on Monday, we are with you 1.5 hour earlier than normal. 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific. And joining us on the first half hour will be from the brand new NBC series premiering later this month, Council of Dads, writer, executive producers, Tony Phelan and Joan Rader. And then from Top Chef All-Stars, back on Bravo later this month, executive producer, Doreen Arguinas. It's all coming up at special time, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And stay tuned, it's coming up shortly. We'll give you another chance at our classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer, you'll win an excellent book on the front lines of the television war by cameraman Tony Hiroshiki, edited by Terry Irving, who was on our program several years ago, forward by Nightline's original anchor, Ted Koppel. So stay tuned for that coming up shortly. Since you're involved in a production company, what do you and your colleagues think about this TV environment that's going on, where you see all these different avenues, these old sandboxes, if you will, that you can play television?
That you can – I didn't understand your question. You said all of the environment. I didn't hear you.
All these sandboxes. You have BET, you've got HBO, you have Netflix, you have Hulu, you have Amazon,
all the
you have these new on smart TVs and smart devices that you can do products for.
Oh, my God, I love it. I love it because when I first got into this business, this digital world really wasn't there. So the only way you could do is you could pitch during certain times of the year, certain seasons, and it was you had to jump through a lot of hoops. So the fact that now we do have a bunch of sandboxes to play in, you've got something as simple as Shudder.com, which is AMC's digital for just horror movies. And something that simple where you can submit your project. You're not having to get on a flight and jump and go to LA and sit in front of a board and really pitch your project is just amazing for filmmakers. I mean, the door is wide open. So I love that we can play in this field now. I love that there are all sorts of niche, like you say, sandboxes or channels or ancillary digital places that our content can go. Everybody's being fed. And I think that's been a big problem with Hollywood, where you only had 10 places it could go, and there was only certain types of content that was really being distributed. And now that rule is broken wide open. I love it.
Do you also think, Cass, that something else that's breaking wide open is that we're seeing more TV series that are having female crews or an all-female writing staff, an all-female or female of color production staff, i.e. 20s, for example, Lena Waithe series that premiered to great reviews and great viewership on BET earlier this week.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, right before the Me Too movement, we were starting to see a little bit of it. But women are now coming together and sticking together. And I think we always haven't had a voice where we felt like it could only be one of us. You know, if there was one woman in the writing room, then she wouldn't make a lot of chatter to try to bring on another woman because maybe that woman would replace her. And that is kind of out the door now. So the fact that women are pulling together and we're calling our friends and we're saying, hey, here's a job over here. Hey, come and crew up with me. We as women have now come together more. And we are standing up for each other more, and we are encouraging each other and referring each other for jobs. So, of course, you're seeing an explosion, but the acceptance is growing, and I'm just happy to see that being a woman who has been behind the scenes for now 20 years. I started off as a wardrobe, as a costumer in the 90s. So I've seen it come a long way, and I think it's great. I mean, of course, our world is diverse. Our world is diverse from, you know, different shades and different colors and genders and even great now, again, not just women. Like, we're seeing a lot of gender rules being broken in production, and we've always been here. So the fact that we're now getting put on the forefront in front of the camera, behind the camera, only makes for a better country. It's media, you know, and media is important. We shape the future. So it's just key.
You're down in Atlanta, which, of course, has become a hotbed of TV production. Everything from The Walking mm-hmm. Dead to Tyler Perry's program, some of them now on BET and BET Plus, I should point out, as well as all sorts of other projects. How are things going down there? And by the way, what we haven't heard a lot of in terms of Atlanta TV production is how the coronavirus, is the coronavirus impacting what's happening down there?
Well, it's impacted the schools. All the schools are shut down. Some of the productions have been pushed back. It hasn't been huge yet. I think for us, it's still been contained to different counties. So, but now, since the state of emergency address last night, I have heard of several productions being pushed back. So I think over the next 3 to 4 weeks, we will see some delay in production. It hasn't affected us yet, but it is the hotbed, and a lot of people are shooting here. So I just imagine if it is shut down for 3 or 4 weeks, by the time summer is around, it will be hopefully booming again.
Yeah. By the way, we have another person just joined our chat room. Thanks for coming aboard. In our remaining minutes with Cass, if you have a question or comment, put it in the room or give the call, 646-652-2906. What's next for you, and what's next for your production company in terms of original television?
As far as television, we are about to go into production in April on a thriller that is written by Maggie Bush. She's one of actually my writing students, and we'll be shooting that. And then in the summer, we'll be doing another a comedy, kind of a girl comedy. So we've got some productions going on. And then me personally, I have a new novel that I am hoping to be released at the top of 2021. It is done and complete, and I'm looking for a new publisher. So,
great work on that. And by the way, do you have any plans to do a series at all, or for your production company to do a series?
I would love for us to do a series. I would love for Open to become a series. So I'm actually pitching that and putting that together as a pitch. And I hope, you know, I can come back on and say, hey, Simon, we're a series now. I think it would be very interesting. I love the show Unfaithful on Showtime. And just having a couple of color and showing the ins and outs of marriage just in general, whether the couple is open, you know, the whole time or the whole series, I think is very important. We don't really see that outside of a soap opera-esque type of atmosphere, but to see the real ins and outs of a married couple and going through changes and growth and, you know, love and falling out of love and falling back in love again, I think is very important. So I'm hoping to turn this into a series. So we'll see.
Definitely could see it as it was one couple, or make it anthology like, where you could have several couples, let's say, involved the course of a season.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be amazing. Like a community of couples.
Well, tomorrow night, you can catch for yourself Open, the brand new BET and BET Her made for television movie the cast has put together as writer, executive producer, and director. It's on tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, simulcast on BET and BET Her. Check your locals for where it's available, where BET or BET Her and or BET Her is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details online, BET.com. It's BET.com. Open, either on BET or BET Her. That's tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Cass DiGiovanno, thank you very much for joining us down in Atlanta. All the very best.
You.
Hopefully we will all get through this coronavirus situation very quickly, and good luck with the movie tomorrow. And let's hope it's a series. And if it is, you're welcome back here anytime.
All right. Thank you so much, Simon. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, Cass. You're very, very welcome. Have a great, great weekend. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Cass DiGiovanno joining us live from Atlanta, Georgia, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. If you're first with the correct answer, you can win a terrific book that we showcased on this program several years ago. On the front lines of the television war, a legendary war cameraman in Vietnam. That cameraman who was on our program was Yasuni Tony Hirosiki, and Terry Irvin, the editor of the book, was also with us. The foreword is by Nightline original anchor Ted Koppel. And here is the question that we introduced this past Monday. What was the Dick Van Dyke Show's original name? That's right. The Dick Van Dyke Show was not originally called the Dick Van Dyke Show. When it was presented in pilot form, Carl Reiner, not Dick Van Dyke, was the star as well as the creator, and went under another name. That's what we want to know. What was Dick Van Dyke Show's original name? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're emailing from. Get first with the creditor. You will win on the front line of the television war. And if you missed the question just a moment ago, look for it over the weekend, starting tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook under Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. And a quick final note. This has been a very sobering week in the world of television and the world at large because of the coronavirus. We have had all sorts of things happen, from major sporting events and sports leagues suspend or cancel their action, their tournaments, like March Madness yesterday from the NCAA. We have had TV shows suspend production. We've had the upfront events scheduled for this month, April and May, pretty much all canceled, going into visual format and so on and so forth. So I know with all of that, it's very easy to panic. It is very easy to get scared. It is very easy to think the worst is not over. Well, it's time to transform that thinking. I know that as we were on the air, President Trump had a news conference to talk about new measures that they are working on to try to control the virus. And I have a hunch that given the talent that we have and the country that we have, we will lick this virus. We're going to lick this. And it's time that we all took that attitude. And I invite you to do that starting today. Remember, Monday on Tomorrow We Televised, we will have our special time, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific, Tony Fallon and Joan Rader, writers executive producer of the new NBC series Council Dan, and from Top Chef All-Stars on Bravo, executive producer Doreen Arvinas. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, all weekend long, our podcasts are available to you, so check them out. Binge if you like. You can get them at not only blogtalkradio.com/televised, but at iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, TuneIn.com, and IRRadio.com. When you go to the last two websites, put Tomorrow Will Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you are right there. We love hearing from you. What do you think about our program today? What do you think about Melissa Errico and the poem she read? Our first ever performance in the 12 and a half years we've been doing this program. Love to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And remember, that's also how you get involved in the Classic Trivia Question of the Week and also a regular feature of Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? We will give it the attention. You got to let us know. And if you do, you get the credit. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're from when you email. Remember, you can always find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. However you communicate, by email or social media, I do respond within 24 hours. And the most important thing is, we respond because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not only those of Block Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeart Radio. Our production assistant at BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Cho is Block Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sundberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Block Talk Radio, Alan Levy, and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For three free audiobooks and one month trial, makes a great gift for you or someone you love. Go to audibletrial.com/televised today. For Tomorrow We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Please be safe and be great. And we'll be back with you on Monday, special time, 2:30 Eastern. That's 11:30 a.m. Pacific, right here, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and the IR Radio podcast. And whatever you're up to causing this weekend, please be safe and please be great now more than ever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.